Welcome to the Spud Spotlight podcast series, where we shine a light on the heart of our community. Each episode, we celebrate the stories, journeys, and voices from Spuds from past, present, and future. From alumni making waves in the world, to students building their path, to the people shaping what's next. This is where we honor what it means to be a part of Spud Nation. In this episode, we welcome Morehead Public Schools Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning, Jeremy Larson, and Horizon East Principal, Spencer Stowers. Jeremy and Spencer share their vision for Horizon, reflect on the core values that shape their leadership, and dig into why high expectations matter so much for student success. Together, they unpack what school culture really is, how it's built day to day, and the role every student and staff member plays in making Horizon a place where we're proud to call home.
We are here for our October Spud Spotlight podcast series, visiting with Principal Stowers and Dr. Larson. This one is exciting for me. Dr. Larson actually hired me as a teacher, so my first job in education came while Dr. Larson was the principal here. Principal Stowers took over this year at Horizon East, and so I kind of get the opportunity to blend how the vision and the culture of this building has come full circle and how you're working together to align those things to create meaningful opportunities for students, staff, and again, just our community. So I want to start, Dr. Larson, with you. Tell us about your professional title and your purpose in our school and in our community.
So it's Jeremy Larson, Assistant Superintendent for Teaching and Learning. I've had this spot now. I think this is my sixth year. Prior, as Corey said, I had 10 years here, first at Horizon Middle School and then Horizon East. I think twofold my job first is to ensure that we have systems to meet the needs of all our kids, academic, social, emotional. What are those systems that we have to meet all the needs of our children? The second one is I really feel like it's my job to help and support influencing our leaders, who then in return influence the teachers, who influence our students. And so really seeing what I can do to help our admin in the district to be the best versions of themselves.
Principal Stowers, your turn. Professional title and how you would describe your purpose within our school and community.
Yeah, first I will say it's an honor to be here, being the principal at Horizon East Middle School. I've been a coach, a teacher, an assistant principal, a coordinator in different areas, and just super excited to be here and really love being with the staff and students up to this point. I would consider my role as a principal here as one of servant leadership. I truly believe that I serve the community in a leadership capacity to provide the absolute best experience for our students and staff. My focus primarily from day to day is connecting with students, but it's also engaging with our staff so they find their work purposeful and meaningful and to engage with students on a daily basis. I continue to strive to be the best that I can be every single day. And if I show up and I do that every day, the goal is for that to be contagious and our staff can feed off of that.
Professional roles identified, defined. Talk to me, we'll start with you, Principal Stowers. Outside of your professional role, you talked a little bit about your history and maybe how you got here, but who are you outside of your role? Like, give us a picture into who Mr. Stowers is.
Yeah, I would say family means everything to me. Outside of work and school, I'm a dad, and I do everything in my power to connect with my family and provide for my family. And so when I show up to work, I also consider school that as well. So I work hard when I come here and provide for staff and students, but when I go home, I'm a dad. I put that hat on, and I'm a husband too. So that's my role outside of school. I would say activities that I really enjoy doing. I love to golf on my free time. I love to fish and go to the lake. That's pretty much what I do outside of work.
Dr. Larson, for our community members who don't know who you are, outside of your role as Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning, who are you and what gives you energy to do the work?
Again, as Mr. Stower said, first and foremost is I'm a husband and a father. I always say that I value whether I am successful is if my kids are proud of what I do and the decisions I make. And so that's the first. What I do is, again, the quality time with my kids, Right now, my youngest two that are still in school are heavily into dance. So we spend a lot of time on going to competition dances and musical theater. And then when I have free time, I love reading. I believe a leader is a reader. And so I try to dive into as much reading as I can to just continue to try to grow myself as both a father, a husband, and as a leader in our district.
So genre of book, are you picking up anything that just catches your eye, or do you have a specific genre that you're looking at? Are you a nonfiction, fiction?
I'm pretty much all nonfiction.
Okay.
I don't get much into fiction, not really a single area. If I read a book and I find something in the book where they quote a different one, I go get that one. And so it kind of jumps around on what I'm doing, but primarily nonfiction.
Okay. So this one I think is interesting because people respond to working in middle school pretty consistently, in that it's like, what are you doing? Why did you do that? You both have now filled the role of principal of a middle school, specifically this middle school. So I got to ask, and you got to tell the people who are listening, what got you to the point where you said, I want to be the principal of a middle school? And I'm going to start with you, Dr. Larson.
So I started as a principal in a small school, Cooperstown, North Dakota, Griggs County Central. We had grades 7 through 12, and we probably had 160 kids. I kind of laughed the first year I came here. One house was about the size of the entire school I came from. And so it was just a different experience. But, you know, middle school is, it's like nothing else. You have kids that are 4 feet, and you have some eighth graders that are 6'4", and just the gamut. And they're trying to figure out who they are and how they fit and where their emotions are. And so the energy level is like nothing else. And so you just enjoy it, right? You pick up, you feed it, you go out and visit with the kids, and every day is a new day. And I think that's the enjoyable part, is you never know what it's gonna be because they're trying to learn and figure it out. And so you really get an opportunity to really help them try to figure out who they are, but then help them shape and mold some of the things that they're gonna learn, right? They're gonna make mistakes all the time here, and we get to help learn and kind of push forward and really have that idea of failing forward with them and learning from those mistakes.
Yeah.
Mr. Sowers, go ahead.
No, I think Dr. Larson said a lot of things I was gonna say, but I will just highlight, coming from the high school the last, 4 years as an administrator, but then also as a teacher, and then prior to that, I've been in the K-8 setting as well. So working with elementary age students, but also those middle school age students, whether it was teaching, coaching. And energy, I think, hits it right there. So a lot of energy, a lot of variety of different decisions that are being made on the fly in a 4-minute transition that goes very fast. And so my take on it is just embracing that and being present in the moment and just understanding that there's a lot of growth happening outside of the classroom with the teacher. And something that we've worked really hard on to start the year is to actually teach students what that environment should look like in the hallways, in the cafeteria, or in and outside of school. So I've enjoyed it. I've commented a few different times coming from the high school to here during passing that it's very much like a racetrack at times in trying to slow our students down. I'm glad to see they're really excited to get to their next class, but they're also a little too eager at times, and just reminding them that we're there to support them. But I just love their personalities. And I would say, whether you're an administrator, a para, a teacher, working in our kitchen, they need us. Like, I truly believe that this age group really needs sound modeling and guidance in taking the right steps forward to be successful.
I think that's the biggest difference. My career has been middle school based, but the level of need and I think desire for interaction is what separates it for me. Like, they truly do want guidance, feedback, growth.
Yep.
That's kind of the special spot of the middle school, and the energy comes with it.
Yeah.
Let's build off what you said, Mr. Sowers.
Yeah.
You're a teacher here. Mm-hmm. You're the principal, but you're a teacher, right? You're teaching kids. I want you to name or identify the class that you're teaching here at Horizon every day when you're interacting with students. And it's probably multiple things. There's probably a few that you could pick, but if you had to nail down one thing that you're working to teach kids in your opportunities to interact with them, what is it?
I think of relationships, positive relationships, and how they're interacting with their peers, with adults, and helping to navigate those conversations. One thing we often discuss as our student support team is we look for educational growth as that building block. If a student makes a poor choice, a poor decision, then we want to be able to intervene and help support their growth in that, but also to ensure that both students or whomever was a part of any situation feel safe while they're being here. And so a safe school is a school that is clean, is a school that has positive relationships among students to students, staff to students, and working to navigate those interactions in the hallways, in the cafeteria, is really important to me. And I would say that it's really important to our staff because I see that on a daily basis. One thing we talk about here, quarter one, is that we want all students to answer yes to, do I belong? And that's been a focus of ours. And if they do believe they belong and they feel that connection with an adult, another student, a coach, a group, whatever that may be, it's that much greater. Yeah. So in terms of the class, it's facilitating those relationships.
Perfect. Dr. Larson, let's talk about when you were here, what you were teaching, like what was the name of the class that you were teaching?
You know, I think what comes to mind is, and I said this earlier, failing forward, right? Being able to take risks and try something new and coming out of your comfort zone. Again, the social-emotional aspect of middle school is so important because kids are trying to feel who they are, and they need to be able to come out of their comfort zone a little bit and take some risks so that they can learn how to interact with others, right? Where this is the first time that everybody from the city of Moorhead comes together.
Right.
We're not the elementary anymore where they have your area schools. And so failing forward, but that it comes with the staff as an admin. I always feel like you have to try something new, try to grow, continue to improve yourself. And if it doesn't work, you learn from it and you try something else. Yeah. And so really that idea of take risks and try to improve yourself and then just learn and grow from there. So fail forward.
Okay. And I think that's maybe a little bit of, you know, a nice tie into the next idea, which is related to school culture. And Mr. Sowers, you've talked a lot about the culture that you're working to build here, specifically with our kids, with our teachers, with the staff members. So when you think of the word or the, you know, the buzz phrase, school culture, what's the image that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, so when I think of school culture, I think of student experience. I think of staff experience. I think of a growth mindset. Both students and staff have the ability to develop and be the absolute best version of themselves here. And I think as school leaders, it is our role and responsibility to provide that environment for our staff and students to thrive in. And that's why we are focused on what we have identified is our three essential questions of, do I belong? Is this meaningful? And can I do this? And not only do we want students to answer yes to that, we want our staff to be able to answer yes to that. Because if they feel a sense of belonging with their colleagues, with their leaders, with support staff that's working with them, that's a great culture, right? That's positive culture throughout our staff. And then also with our staff, we want them to find their work meaningful and confident that they can deliver not only the curriculum, but connect with their students. And so we use the word SPUDS, whether you're a teacher, a para, a student, a family member, someone within the community. That's what we strive for each and every day.
Dr. Larson, for you, when you think of school culture, maybe tie back to when you were the principal here. Like, what was the culture? I can speak to what I experienced as the culture you were working to create and a couple of images that stick with me. But maybe to talk about what you were shooting for as the principal of this building.
You know, I think it hits, like Mr. Stauer said, you want to feel valued, right? I mean, so what do you value? What do you celebrate? That's a big part of culture. Are we celebrating everybody so that they can feel a part of it? I recommended a book that I had this summer to Mr. Stowers, and it's his office, The Power of Moments. As leaders, we have opportunity to create those moments for kids to feel valued and to feel a part of something. And so I think that's what the culture is. Again, is it's what that feeling is. How are you connecting the kids to feel valued? And on the other side, though, it is also what you allow. Mm-hmm. If you want a high quality culture, you also have to look at what we allow and what that line is on working with kids and kind of mm-hmm. Ensuring what is happening, that SPUD mm-hmm. standard,
right. mm-hmm.
that we're celebrating it as leaders, as teachers, and then we're really focusing on that and following through with it with the staff and students as well.
So let's dig into that a little bit more. So balancing that celebration between, you know, celebrating the success, celebrating that we all are a part of this, the culture that we built, those different things, with continuing to embrace mm-hmm. that failing forward. How do you push that envelope so that it's not all celebratory, but it's all not like we got to keep moving? What's the balance look like? How do you do that as a leader? What are your thoughts there?
So I'm a big believer in first is setting goals, right? And so they have to be attainable goals. But once you reach that goal, you reflect on it, you celebrate a little bit, then you got to set another one, mm-hmm. right? You got to keep going. A quote I love from one of the books I read is, good is the enemy of great. Mm-hmm. We want to celebrate that we did something good, but we can't become complacent because we want to be great. We want to keep pushing that. So, you know, I think it's just that idea of you can always keep growing. You can always keep learning. And so we need to celebrate those steps along the way, but then we need to set a new goal.
Right.
And so it's never stopping setting those goals. For me, I set them, you know, daily, weekly, monthly. You have those. Reflect on maybe why you didn't meet it, but then you move on. You move on and you set a new one.
So I'm going to let you speak to, because I know what our goals as a building mm-hmm. are. We work closely on them, but for our listeners who maybe don't get to see those things, can you talk to, knowing that Dr. Larson has emphasized the setting of goals, mm-hmm. for our building specifically, what are the goals at Horizon?
Yeah, so these are things that are collective within our building leadership team, our department leads, and we set an emphasis and a focus to start the year that's academic based. So we did talk about an achievement goal of maintaining and lowering our D's and F's, and those are something that we do work directly, that's directly aligned with our PLC work. Our PLCs right now, which for those that don't know, it's professional learning communities. So essentially our teachers meet collectively and they're diving into data and trying to figure out ways where they can intervene and support students to achieve the grades that they want in their particular courses. And we also talked as a building leadership team of goals that are specifically aligned to celebrating positive behaviors, as we call mm-hmm. East Pride. Mm-hmm. Right. And so our students and staff have heard a lot about East Pride over the course of this quarter. And what we have also focused on, as Dr. Larson said earlier, is the recognition of mm-hmm. The great work our students and staff are doing. Mm-hmm. And so through that, we've set some lofty goals for the quarter mm-hmm. In terms of celebrations for our students and our staff to be able to recognize those that are not only performing well in the classroom, but also performing well outside of the classroom too. What I would say that when we look at the end of the year on the progress we made from the start of September all the way until May, we're going to work heavily on that belonging piece, but we're also teachers and coaches and leaders that want to look specifically at the data, and we want to see that the data supports the work that we're doing each and every day, mm-hmm. And then we can calibrate, right? And if we did not meet our goals, we can calibrate mm-hmm. and we can look at how we're going to set those for the following year.
Perfect. So let's talk about, you know, for people who are trying to make a decision. We're in the Fargo-Moorhead area. There's middle schools all over the place. You know, where you live dictates some of where you attend mm-hmm. school. But you're pitching to a community member who's like thinking about where they're going to send their seventh grader. And I'm going to start with you, Mr. Sowers. Mm-hmm. Why would you tell them Horizon East is the spot that they need to attend and that it's the place to go?
Yeah, I think, you know, even prior to when I was here, I think it still stays true today. This is a highly sought after place for teachers to want to teach and staff to want to be. We have an incredibly passionate staff to meet the needs of our students every day. We have an incredibly passionate support staff that's going to support our students every day. And we're a school of 1,100 students that's incredibly diverse. And the experience that you're going to get here is just that, right? You're going to have to interact with a variety of different groups of people, different staff, being able to manage different transitions and interact with a variety of different individuals throughout the course mm-hmm. of a day. And it's not easy to do, and we recognize that. And we consistently try to provide the necessary supports in education to, for our students. But what I will say, if there is a decision that we have a passionate staff that is here to support our students to reach their goal at the absolute highest level, and something I've seen to start the school year without a doubt.
Dr. Larson, maybe a bigger, broader school, mm-hmm. but why is Moorhead? You know, you've got the Fargo schools in that mm-hmm. system across the river and all of the great schools in the area. But if you're pitching, you know, our product to a seventh grade mm-hmm. family and you know, their parents, why is Horizon East the spot that you're gonna tell them to go?
You know, I think from a culture spot, right? My wife works across the river, mm-hmm. And every school has their own identity, yep. and every middle school has their own identity. And you know, listen to Brian Cole for a couple of your first broadcast, and they truly mean it's a great to be a Spud, right? Yep. Like everybody in our system is a Spud, yep. from kindergarten to seniors. Mm-hmm. Everybody has that identity, yep. and I think that is one thing that really makes this place special is. Everything is funneled through that. Mm-hmm. We promote that. We believe in that. And so at Dorothy Dodds, if you're in activities, you're a Spud and you're watching the high school Spuds, and everybody can see that because yep. they all have that same identity. I think that's really different in a big city to have that common identity. But it you can really feel it among staff and people that have been here, whether you just moved here. All my kids will graduate Spuds, yep. but I moved in, or ones that have been here forever. Mm-hmm. Once you're here, you do feel like a Spud. Mm-hmm. There's a community feel around that. So I just think that is a different feeling when you get into some of the bigger schools that Moorhead is very special about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah. And I would also just say that when you think of in my experience primarily has been 712 here. And when you think of the extracurricular opportunities that are provided mm-hmm. in Moorhead schools, mm-hmm. it also goes back to that piece of belonging connection. I mean, it is a wide range. Yeah. Like if you want to participate in some form of club or extracurricular activity, sport, whatever it may be, it's there for you. And we have incredibly passionate educators yeah. that provide that. Mm-hmm. And so I can't say enough about that, not only being here, but also at the high school.
Mm-hmm. So as we think about, and I want to provide an insight into how decisions that impact the day-to-day experiences of staff and mm-hmm. students and the culture of the building. I want to talk a little bit about how those decisions get made. And I think I know you both well enough to know that you make decisions based on some values and some things that you feel strong enough is like, mm-hmm. this is what I believe in, so this is the decision I'm mm-hmm. going to make. I'd like you to share those. I'd like you to share what sort of things, what the values that you rely on to make decisions so that our listeners understand that, you know, when there's a new initiative about the attendance sweep or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, what are you hanging your hat on as this is why I made that decision? And I'll start with you, Mr. Flores.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's what is in the best interest of our students. And so knowing that, as I mentioned earlier, that we are here to provide educational growth and have that growth mindset that, and as Dr. Larson has said, failing forward, that when we're presented with difficult decisions and a variety of different challenges on a day-to-day basis, that A, we're doing it as a team, right? We're making decisions on a team. I'm not the single individual that's gonna make those decisions, mm-hmm. but that it is very much a team decision. And that through that process, we are focused on what is in the best interest of that student and all students within our building. I really tend to lean on what my three core values are, and that is courage, commitment, and I use the word campfire as that third one. But you do have to have courage, I would say, to be in education. You gotta have courage to be a 12, 13, 14-year-old student right now to show up to a school with 1,100 students and navigate this process and the expectations that are set on you. And it takes a high level of commitment. I would say we have a very committed community. We have a very committed, I would say our families are committed to education and value it. And I use the word campfire because if anyone who's ever been around a campfire, sometimes you go to a campfire that you may not know anybody. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's friends, whatever it may be. But you learn a lot about people, right? And we are in a business of interacting with people. Yeah. And so the ability to do that and have those conversations, whether you agree or disagree, just continue to try to value those things as we make decisions.
So Dr. Larson, same question for you, but maybe the twist on it is I want maybe to you to explain to our individuals who are listening how when you look at the grand scheme of K-12 learning, what are the things that guide the instruction or the direction that you give your building leaders to do the things academically that you want them to do that you feel are best for kids?
Yeah, I think it honestly, the values are the same whether you're principal, assistant, superintendent, superintendent, right? I really believe that. And the three C's are kind of similar to what Mr. Stauer said, is I really believe you have to be collaborative, right? You have to be courageous. Sometimes they're tough decisions. But my big one is you need to stay calm. Whether I think you need to model that, kids are watching us. So when I was a principal here, kids are watching you in the hallways, interaction. They see how you handle things. Yeah. They see you in drills, right? No different than if I'm at a district leadership meeting with admin, people are watching me, right? And so I think you have to stay calm and cool, be collaborative, but I do think that value is that eyes are on you, and that says more about you and how you're gonna react. Again, I always say I'll be successful if my kids see and know what I do and they are proud of it. Yeah. And so I try to keep that to my core all the time. I want to be the coolest person in the room or in the environment. But yeah, you have to be collaborative and courageous. There are some tough decisions sometimes, financially, personally, professionally, that has to be the core of the kids, what's best for our students here. And I think if you are calm and collaborative and courageous, you are creating a culture of trust and it makes those decisions that much easier to handle.
Yeah, I like that. Tying into school culture, and I think one of the things with school culture that you and I have talked a lot about is setting those high expectations, high standards. It's certainly become more of a kind of a frequently talked about thing, especially within schools. So let's start with you. What do the high standards look like in practice for us? What is an academic high standard? What are our behavior high standards? What are our cultural high standards?
I think what we talk about each and every day is respect, responsibility, and safety. We've talked about this numerous times that safety, without a doubt, is our main focus on a daily basis. And that's beyond just some of the behaviors that we work with. It's the connection students have with their teachers, with staff, and with other students. When I think of expectations here at Horizon East Middle School, it's where we're setting the bar, right? And the bar at times to us may seem very simple, right? But it's we're gonna be in class on time because we're gonna respect all learners within that classroom and the environment for our teachers to teach. And we're going to have a level of responsibility throughout the course of the school day that we're going to navigate this thing with high character, with positivity, and with putting others up and not down, right? So when it comes to our expectations of setting the bar for our teachers, I think our teachers have set a pretty high bar. I think our staff have set a really high bar this year. And we see that work each and every day when we meet as a team, that they keep trying to push the envelope and just do a little bit better each and every day for our students. And that's all we can ask is for them to be their best when they show up, but to try to push a little bit farther each and every day when they're here. So,
Dr. Larson, maybe tie into like the academic side of things from your perspective, again, on the large K-12 scale, how do we implement those high standards for academics and academic expectations into everything that we do?
You know, I've always felt like how you handle academically and behaviorally is the same, right? It because it's all within the kid. Mm-hmm. And so, again, if we have a focus on improvement, you kind of have that idea of accountability with mm-hmm. support.
Yeah.
Right? You set the bar, as you said, East Pride, here's what it means. And when kids don't meet that standard behavior, getting to class on time, there's generally some accountability, but then we're also going to support you. Yeah. We're also mm-hmm. going to help you.
Yep.
You know, what is it that you need to learn? How can we help you? Academically, that's just that. If we have a standard for all of our kids to reach, we want to do everything we can to support that kids to fill those gaps. And so it's really that focus on improvement. Wherever you're at, academically, behaviorally, our athletics, our fine arts programs, everything is taking the kids where they're currently at and continuing to help them improve. And so having that focus of improvement, it does come with accountability, but with accountability also has to be that support to help them reach those goals.
So then maybe tie into what that looks like, because if I'm a middle school kid mm-hmm. who's constantly being told I'm not meeting the expectation, that you know I'm seeing failing grades, mm-hmm. I didn't make the team I want to make, whatever that looks like, how do you blend in that high mm-hmm. support to ensure that kids understand it's okay to fail and mm-hmm. here's what you're going to do next to get to where we need you to be?
I think that's where it comes, the relationships,
okay.
right? Where you have to have that, you know, again, whenever you're going somewhere, you have to have a starting point. So whether it's academics or behavior, you talk about it, and here's where we're at right now, here's where we have to go, how can we get you there?
Right.
What can I do to help you? And it really is that relationship with the mm-hmm. kid, that they know that you are there to help them.
Yeah.
You want to help them succeed, you want to help them grow, and you're going to do what you can in your power to make them successful. And mm-hmm. so sometimes as a system, use the phrase, we have to confront the brutal facts. Mm-hmm. You know, data is not personal. Data is data. Mm-hmm. Us as humans make it personal, especially when we're in education, because it feels that way. But that just tells us where we're at. And now here's what we're going to do to grow. We're going to come together and we're going to, you know, do it collaboratively. And again, it's a focus on improvement. You know, it's that idea of progress, not perfection. We
yeah.
really want to just keep one step at a time to help the kids fill the skills that they may need academically, behaviorally, every component of their life.
Yeah.
Just, you know, middle school is so social that how can we fill those gaps mm-hmm. One step at a time?
So can you talk about what your conversations with students looks like? So give a picture of a student who hasn't met the standard. We'll call it a behavioral standard mm-hmm. in the lunchroom.
Yeah.
What does your conversation with that student look like to support them in the way that they need to then meet the standard that you've set?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So number one is, in our roles, I think visibility is key.
Mm-hmm.
If our students don't know us, they don't see us
sure.
in their environment, how are they going to trust us, right? So building mm-hmm. trust, getting to know them on a level mm-hmm. that is just beyond hello, how's it going today, but really try to connect with the things of that they're interested in and that they love beyond school. It's very challenging to do, right, when you're talking about 1,100 students in a school. And that's why it's so important that we work on, and I know Dr. Larson was part of bringing this to Moorhead, but our systems of support.
Yeah.
And we have a data-driven approach that has been vetted and tested in a variety of different schools. It's called BAR, which is Building Assets and Reducing Risk. It very much is a team-oriented mm-hmm. approach, right? So as a principal, as a behavior interventionist, as a counselor, down to our teacher teams, and any other support staff we have surrounding our students, we are focusing on their strengths. Mm-hmm. So when I'm interacting, that, mm-hmm. to answer your question, Dr. Holton,
mm-hmm.
when I am interacting with a student, the goal would be, I know a lot about that student prior,
sure.
and then I can connect and tap into mm-hmm. maybe conversations we've had in the past, or conversations we had with that student's team within our BAR process. Because a common phrase I use, which I learned a long time ago, the coach used with me, is you're just not there yet. And yet is a powerful word with students, but we're going to get you there. Right, and that's that growth mindset approach. And so dive into the behavior. We got to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the steps we're going to take to fix it. And this is your team that's surrounding you. But beyond that, I believe in you. I want you to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep showing up every day for you.
So to like double down on that, that's the message that they hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
What are things that you would tell family members who maybe are getting the report, right? You're making the call to talk about the lunchroom behavior. How can families support that work so that it's that collaborative effort where we're all supporting the student the same way?
Yeah, I think what the practice that I have seen work more often than not is it's not an email. It's not necessarily a quick message. It's inviting families here to interact, right, with their students and in front of a staff member. I really encourage like our conferences, because if your student's there meeting with the teachers, you're seeing their expressions, you're allowing your child to communicate with the teacher. Your child feels a part of the team and you also feel a part of the team. And so if we get to a point to where we're having multiple conversations, as I have mentioned to our dean of students, our behavior interventionists and teachers, I think it's time that we meet. And knowing that the parent or guardian or family member is very much a part of the team.
Yeah.
I would say just to reinforce that is we have a lot of work to do on our end on the school side of things. As I just stated, to build those connections with our students, we got to continue to work on building connections with our families.
Mm-hmm.
And those are challenging things because we have so much time, right? And but I think that work has to continue to happen where we're connecting with our families and our community. So they're in our schools, seeing what we're doing and celebrating with us.
Dr. Larson, can you talk from a staff perspective? What's a practice that you've seen put into place, or what, a staff member who's got a specific type of mindset that helps them both challenge students to be better while also providing that support? Maybe speak to, from a staff perspective, what you've seen be really effective.
You know, I think it comes back to the same thing that Mr. Stauer said, is that relationship.
Sure.
Right? And whether it's, you know, the teacher and the student, or an admin and a teacher, when you have a culture of trust and you trust each other, you can have difficult conversations. And you have that relationship because you know that you are trying to help them become a better person. And you're trying to help them grow. And so comes with that, though, is you can't always just talk about where you need to grow then, right? There's got to be some positive messages. That was one thing I really loved about BAR is, hey, we want to reach out to every kid and say what you're doing well. Every family should get that positive connection, because that doesn't always happen all the time. When you're working with families, sometimes they don't hear a lot of positives or not as much as we should. And so I think it's just that, you know, reinforcing that. Also reinforcing, I used to always tell the parents when I visited with them, don't ever apologize for being passionate about your kid. If you're not passionate about your kid, who would be? And so if something happened, we want to be respectful, but never apologize for being passionate and maybe worked up. Because then when we can sit down with them, we usually are able to stay calm and we get it to a spot where now we're focusing on the kid again and how we can help them improve. And sometimes through that, we reflect and we learn that, okay, maybe we made a mistake as a system in a school. And then we can look to improve that. So I think it's just, you have to have that relationship centered around that culture of trust.
So let's talk to maybe our students, or give a tidbit of advice here to our students or staff on one thing that they can do to make a Horizon a place where they do form more trusting relationships, or they do have a better, you know, ability to support students while challenging them to grow. One small snippet of advice that you would give anybody who says, I want to get better at that.
Yeah, so I think there's so much intentionality to that. Like, you almost have to train yourself to do it. I can say, you know, one thing that I focus on as a school leader is first on, last off. Now, it's very difficult with Brian Cole because he's, I try to beat him to school and I try to stay later than Brian Cole. And we both have the same color truck. So anyways, that's a whole nother story. But I would say just that first on, last off approach, the visibility throughout the course of the school day. And it really just comes down to the little things, right? So if we are expecting that our students need to be on time and our students are going to focus towards a growth mindset, then I think the intentionality of our staff are those things too, right? on top of that, if we want a clean school, because we value that a school, that a safe school is a clean school, then we're also going to pitch in, pick up a piece of trash and throw it away. And then our students see that, we're modeling that. And then if students are doing that, or staff are doing that, that we're recognizing that and reinforcing positive behaviors.
Yeah, I think that's an important one you've hit a couple times, of when you walk by a piece of garbage, pick it up and model, like that's the expectation we have. How about you, Dr. Larson? Small things students or staff can do to make Horizon a spot where it's easier, or maybe it's a more conducive to those trusting relationships?
You know, I think it's, like I said, it's the little things, right? Like, and having a focus of what could I do to make someone smile today? It's just in the hallway saying good morning, right? So, you know, I think that's one of the greatest gifts a staff member can have, is when kids enter the building, we're excited to see them, and we say, welcome back, we're glad you're here. If you miss 2 days, you know what? Welcome back. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here today. And then we focus on that. So it's having that positive attitude, again, to form those relationships. But I'm also a big in self-reflection, right? Taking that time. I don't remember what the app was, but I used to apply to an app, and every once in a while it'd tell me to stop. What are you doing? You know, take a breath, think, relax, and write down what you're working on. And it would just be at random moments, and it would just shoot it out to me. But it gives you that idea to really stop and say, oh, try to get back in the moment. You know, it's with how we said, it's busy here, high energy, which is fun. You can also get caught just chasing things.
Right.
And so I think it's stop, reflect, get back in the moment. And really it's that self accountability. What is something I can do today to try to brighten the day of somebody else?
You know, I know you had Peter on a few weeks ago, and something that Dr. Larson just said is, you know, I'm glad you're here. Oftentimes you'll hear Peter say at a drop of a hat to any student he meets, number one is he works incredibly hard to know students by name. And it goes back to that intentionality piece, but he will also say, I'm glad you're here. Keep coming back, right? It's the little things that you can say to students or say to your colleagues that, hey, I appreciate you. I love working with you. Or with our students, say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Keep coming back. We're here for you.
And Peter walks through our lunchroom and it's like a celebrity walks through. I mean, kids are crazy. That is it. That's his magic trick, is I say hi to kids and I tell them I'm glad they're here.
But to your point, it's also often that if our staff are at students' activities, or they see them outside of school, that they too are celebrities, right? Maybe that's more so in the elementary at times, but as you get into middle school. But yes, we do have lives outside of school. And when you see us, we may go to the grocery store, and we may go out to eat, or we may be pump gas. So I just think, I think that those are also moments where to just acknowledge those individuals, even if it's outside of our school setting.
All right, cool. We get to do our little rapid fire warm up or wrap up here. So I'm going to hit you with just quick questions as we close out and wrap this up. This was good. I appreciate it. I think the cool part about it again for me was bringing together like the circle of vision of Horizon, but then now kind of with the roles that you're in, how it translates from top down. So I appreciate it. So Mr. Stowers, we're going to start with you. Phrase or motto that you find yourself repeating often when it comes to culture or expectations?
Could do two.
Sure.
Be your best. And I often say speak victory, right? And what I mean by that is oftentimes we can really get into the weeds of things, or doubt ourselves, not be confident in a particular direction. But within the unity of our team, we're going to speak victory, and we are going to will this to happen because we know it's what's best.
I've taken the speak victory for our students who are frustrated, right? Holding them that high standard of, I'm never going to get this. No, you can. We're going to speak victory here. We're going to get it done. Dr. Larson, how about you?
Well, I guess I got to have two then, because Mr. Stowers did. The first one that I've had, and I actually have it in my office, it's a laminated sheet, and what I do today affects my outcome tomorrow. So again, it's everything you do, you're just trying to get better every day. And that, again, is all aspects of that. So that's a big one. And then a big one for me, and maybe this is why I love reading, is when opportunity knocks, it's too late to prepare. Again, we're trying to build the skills for tomorrow of what we don't even know is going to happen. And that is both with our culture, our behavior, academically, everything we do. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, when opportunity knocks, it's too late to prepare.
Yeah. I like that. I like that one. I've never heard that before. All right, I'm going to hit you with this one, Dr. Larson, first. What's one thing that you wish everybody at Horizon understood about your vision for our students?
I think it's that we really want to have every kid feel like there's someone that cares about them. I grew up in a small town where and I've talked about it, my mother had bipolar, but I had a community and a school that rallied around me because my dad taught there, mm-hmm. right? And so they took care of me. And we need to, just because we have big schools, we still need to try to create that environment that a kid does feel like there's somebody here that cares mm-hmm. about me.
Yeah.
And is looking after me. And that's what our job as leaders is, to try to build those systems that it happens.
And I think to add on to that, and I'm just gonna throw a plug in for what I would say is a goal of ours. If you don't feel like you have that at Horizon, mm-hmm. find somebody to tell, right? Mm-hmm. Like, don't feel like you can't say, I don't feel connected to this place, I don't feel like I belong. We want that information so we can support mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And it's you, Mr. Sowers, now. One thing you wish everybody understood about your vision, and, mm-hmm. and I know it's relatively fresh here for Horizon, but your vision for Horizon, this is your opportunity to say what you think everybody needs to know about it.
Yeah, it just goes back to the belonging piece. And what I will say is, our mission is that all SPUDs, like when I say SPUDs, it is our students, it's our staff, it's our stakeholders, right, our community, that they're known, that they're supported, and they have an environment, right, that they can, but they're empowered to thrive, right? Be successful and to be their best every day. Beyond that, I believe what we work hard on every single day is to be a great person,
yeah.
right? Be kind to those that you may have disagreements with. But just what an incredible staff we have that I truly believe embodies that every day. It's a great team environment here. Our staff truly lean on each other. And that is contagious for our students, right? So if our staff is thriving, if our teams are thriving, our students are gonna thrive. And then it's our role to just continue that process throughout the course of the year.
I'm gonna start with you with our last one. It's the final wrap up. You've actually hit it a little bit already, but we always gotta ask it. And you've been a SPUD longer, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So what is the best part about being a SPUD?
I think, again, it's that community feeling of togetherness. And the other side is, I think everybody is always trying to improve.
Yeah.
Continuous mm-hmm. improvement of our activities, our academics, the environment. We're never good enough at just being a SPUD, right? Mm-hmm. We always want to ramp that up and increase what that means to be a SPUD. So I think that's down with everybody that's part of the system is we're always looking how we can improve.
Yeah.
I think to go off of that, not to say the same thing, but yes, there's that connectedness of being in a SPUD, and that's evident. I also believe in Moorhead Area Public Schools, specifically at Horizon, is you can be your true authentic self,
yeah.
right? And I try to say to students at different times, hey, be who you are, mm-hmm. right? And by, like, we embrace that. And as I mentioned earlier, there's opportunities for everybody, but when you walk through the door of Horizon East, be your true authentic self. We're not all contained in this box where we are all the same, where we're trying to do the same exact thing. We try to provide a great experience for everyone.
Yep.
But I think the power of Moorhead Area Public Schools, and then specifically Horizon East, is that you can be your true authentic self, and we want you to be that.
Yeah.
And I think just building on that, that's the special part. Because again, at Horizon, we're bringing everybody mm-hmm. together yeah. and, you know, public school is about one of the only settings nowadays that everybody comes together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think you guys have created an environment where you celebrate that, you value that, mm-hmm. and then in return, the kids are going to be able to learn that, which will feed into our other settings and into Moorhead as a city.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. I appreciate both of your guys' time and willingness to go through the questions. I hope that listeners got the opportunity to hear kind of how this all works and from a decision-making standpoint and a vision standpoint, what we're all about and where we're going. Another fantastic opportunity to celebrate community contribution in this SPUD way, past, present, and future. So thank you both.
Thank you.